The shiur this evening is dedicated by Pearl and Norman Wisen, marking the yahrzeit today of her mother, Rachel Yitto Bas Leib HaKohen, Rose Borenstein. Shomer should have an aliyah and should see much nachas ruach in the Torah mitzvahs and ma'isim tovim that the entire family is involved in. There's a pasuk in Megillas Eicha, which we read last night, Gam ki ezak va'ashaveya sosam tfilosi. Yirmiyahu HaNavi says, speaking on behalf of Klal Yisrael, it seems, even when I call out and I scream to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sosam tfilosi, my tefillah, my prayer is blocked. It seems to be incapable of reaching HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In context, the simple explanation is that Klal Yisrael davened that the Churban shouldn't happen. Certainly Yirmiyahu HaNavi davened that the Churban shouldn't happen. And to no avail, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not accept any tefillos of Klal Yisrael to forestall or to push off or to prevent the Churban happening, the destruction of the Bayis Rishon. This pasuk, actually on the level of Pshat, actually fits very nicely with two psukim in Sefer Yirmiyahu, where twice in Sefer Yirmiyahu, the Ribbono Shel Olam says to Yirmiyahu, V'ata al tispalel bi'ad ha'am hazeh, v'al tisa ba'adam rino svila. I know, Yirmiyahu, you'd like nothing more than to daven on behalf of Klal Yisrael to ask that the Churban not take place, but I am commanding you, says the Ribbono Shel Olam to Yirmiyahu HaNavi, don't daven for Klal Yisrael. Don't raise your voice for them. They're hopeless. They're beyond the point where tefillah is going to make a difference. So just on the simple level of pshat, it could be that Yirmiyahu HaNavi in Megillas Eicha is referring back to those episodes twice. In Sefer Yirmiyahu, where the Ribbono Shel Olam basically tells them, don't even bother. I'm not even giving you the permission to daven on behalf of Klal Yisrael. V'ata al tispalel be'ad ha'am hazeh. Very, very strong, sort of heart-wrenching language, which the Navi uses in Sefer Yirmiyahu. So Yirmiyahu HaNavi himself in Megillas Eicha says, sosam tfilosi. There's no greater expression of the fact that my tefillah is not acceptable than the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam came to me directly and said so in so many words. Don't daven on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Imagine such a thing. That concept, that sosam tfilosi, was utilized by the early Ashkenazi Rishonim, the Balei HaTosfos, with regard to several minhagei tefillah that we have on Tisha B'Av. I want to talk about some of the more well-known expressions of sosam tefilosi, and talk about some of the less-known expressions of this idea of sosam tefilosi, that the tefillah is blocked, it's prevented from reaching the Ribbono Shel Olam on Tisha B'Av. That we'll see from a medrash, a very interesting interpretation of sosam tfilosi, of the pasuk, a midrashic interpretation of that pasuk, which I think is good musar for us all to accept as we're coming out of Tisha B'Av and hopefully looking about what we can do better in these days and weeks that are coming ahead. Many people know that which is quoted in the Hagos Maimonios, one of the Talmidim of the Maram Rothenberg, who wrote comments on the Rambam, that the minog in Ashkenaz developed that on the night of Tisha B'Av, after the kinos were read, Kaddish would be recited, but the verse Tiskabel Tzlosun V'Oson, that Hashem should accept the tefillos of Klal Yisrael, is omitted from that Kaddish because of that idea that sosam tefilosi. Once we've read Eicha and the Kinos on the night of Tisha B'Av, we've basically said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to accept our tefillos. So for us to say the line, Tiskabel Tzlosun V'Oson D'chol Beis Yisrael, accept the prayers and the supplications of the entire house of Israel, would be at odds with what we just declared in the Megillah itself. So the minog is brought, and again that's the minog, that Tiskabel is omitted from the Kaddish that follows the reading of Eicha on the night of Tisha B'Av. Interestingly enough, there's a Kaddish that precedes the reading of Eicha on the night of Tisha B'Av, and in that Kaddish we say Tiskabel. It's as if, it's not so much the day of Tisha B'Av itself, but it's the recitation of Eicha and the Kinos that brings to light this idea of Sasam Tfilosi. Before we read Eicha, we're okay saying Tiskabel. After we read Eicha, so at that point the minhag is that we don't say Tiskabel anymore, Sasam Tfilosi. Similarly, our minhag is that in the morning in Shacharis, when we would normally say the Kaddish Tiskabel at the end of davening, after Uval Etzion, we also omit the Tiskabel from that tefillah. By the time we get to Mincha, and we know that certain aspects of the morning of Tisha B'Av, morning in both senses of the term, morning with a Yud and without a Yud, certain aspects of the morning of Tisha B'Av have lightened already by the afternoon. Right, we sit on regular chairs, we're already saying Nachem at Mincha. So we know that our minhag, as we just said now by Mincha, is to say Tiskabel in the Kaddish following Shmoneh Esrei. So it's interesting to note that there were minhagim brought that Tiskabel was also said at Shacharis. That's not our minhag, but the rationale for that would be as follows. Tiskabel seems to be linked to the recitation of Eicha and the Kinos. That's what we said on the night of Tisha B'Av. Before Eicha and the Kinos, we do say Tiskabel. After Eicha and the Kinos, we don't say Tiskabel. So by the time you get up to Tiskabel at the end of Shacharis, you've finished saying all the Kinos already, and in fact, we've already said Psukim of Nechama. We've said verses of consolation at the end of the Kinos, so maybe we're in a different place, we're in a better place. Maybe it's already possible to say Tiskabel Sloson of Oson de Chol Beis Yisrael. That's a minhag that was brought among some of the Rishonim. Again, that's not our minhag. Our minhag is that as long as it's not the afternoon, as long as we're still holding by Shacharis, there's still this cloud, so to speak, that prevents our tefillos from fully being able to reach the Ribono Shel Olam, so we omit Tiskabel. There are other manifestations of this idea of Sosam Tfilosi as well, and I want to talk about them a little bit for the next couple of minutes. It's well known that we don't say Tachnun on Tisha B'Av. Some may argue that one of the few upsides of Tisha B'Av coming out on a Thursday is that, you know, you have 3 hours worth of kinnas, but you lose out on the 5 minutes of a hurachum. Maybe it's a cheshbon, maybe there's something there. Right, it's well known we don't say Tachanun on Tisha B'Av. Why don't we say Tachanun on Tisha B'Av? So the standard reason which is brought in Shulchan Aruch, and which appears in Rishonim, is that we read in the Megillah last night, Kara alai moed lishbor bachurai, that the Ribbono Shel Olam considered Tisha B'Av to be a moed, an appointed time, at which he would cut down my young men. So since Tisha B'Av is called a moed, Moed can also mean a festive day, a Yom Tov. So the same way that we don't say Tachnun on Moadim, we don't say Tachnun on Tisha B'Av either. That's a very fascinating concept in its own right. I mean, certainly Tisha B'Av is the last day of the year you would ever think to label as being a Yom Tov. But again, so there are various explanations. You know, we know that Tisha B'Av is going to be a Yom Tov in the future. That's the Pasuk in Zechariah says, that the fast days are going to become feasts when the Beis HaMikdosh is built. On some level, perhaps already now, there are elements of a Moed in Tisha B'Av. Okay, so we can say Torah, you know, explaining that particular idea. But it's interesting to note, somewhat less well known, that the Machzor Vitri was written by Rav Simcha Vitri, a Talmud of Rashi, one of the earliest Sidurim that we have. The Machzor Vitri writes that the reason we don't say Tachanun on Tisha B'Av is because of this idea of Sosam Tfilosi, that my Tfilah is not going to be accepted by the Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay, so why Tachanun? You know, why not drop all of the Tfilos for that matter? So it would seem, again, we're used to saying Tachnun, whatever it says in the Siddur. But historically, if you look at the way Tachnun seemed to have functioned in the time of Chazal, so Tachnun was very much the personal Tachanunim, the personal supplications of the individual. It was not a fixed text. The person at the end of Shmoneh Esrei would just pour out his heart before the Ribbono Shel Olam. And Tachnun was a particularly effective form of tefillah because it involved the person literally humbling themselves in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. What we do nowadays with the little leaning on the arm, that's a small fraction of what Tachnun used to be. Tachnun used to be literally Nefilas Apayim. You'd fall on your face in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So very highly personal, highly charged kinds of tefillah. We may be familiar with the famous story told in the Gemara Bava Metzia that after Rabbi Eliezer, the Tana was put into Cheirem, so his wife, who was the sister of the Nasi, Rabbi Gamliel, who had put him into Cheirem, his wife tried to do whatever she could to keep him from saying Tachanun. Because she said, Rachmanu Litzlan, he has so much pain because he was put into Cheirem. If he says Tachanun, I'm afraid of what's going to happen to my brother, the Nasi, who's ultimately responsible for having put Rebbe Lezer into Cheirem. So she prevented him every day from saying Tachanun. I guess, you know, every day she told him, is this Rebbe's yard site? Is that Rebbe's yard site? Whatever it was, he didn't say Tachanun. One day she messed up. He ended up saying Tachanun. And right away, the Gemara says, she walked in, she saw what he had done, her heart fell. And she said, you know, you just killed my brother. And Kachava, you know, Rabbi Gamliel, you know, died as in the aftermath of those tefillos, those powerful tefillos of Tachanun of Rabbi Eliezer. So we can understand that a tefillah as powerful as Tachanun has no place on Tisha B'Av, not because Tisha B'Av is called the Moed, but says the Machzor Vitri, because of Sosam Tfilosi. The Ribbono Shel Olam took away at least some of the power of Tfilah. He curtailed the power of Tfilah on Tisha B'Av, at least on part of Tisha B'Av, and thus this powerful Tfilah of Tachanun is not going to be effective, so there's no point in saying Tachanun on Tisha B'Av itself. To take that a little bit further, the Beis Yosef quotes the Rav Yoh, who quotes the Ri Alevi, one of the very, very early, I think it's the German Rishonim. The Ri Alevi says that the minhag is not to say Aneinu on Tisha B'Av. Now again, that's not our minhag, we just said Aneinu. Sam, you don't have to worry, you did it right, you follow whatever it said in the Siddur. Right? We know that our minhag is, we say Aneinu in Shmoneh Esrei by every Tainis Tzibur. Right, the Chazan says it by Shachris and by Mincha, and the regular average Balabas says it by Mincha as well. On the surface, Tisha B'Av is a Tainis Tzibur. We should say Aneinu. Says the Ri Alevi, no, Aneinu is inappropriate for Tisha B'Av. Why? Sosam Tfilosi. What's Aneinu? Just read the words. Aneinu Hashem Aneinu B'Yom Tzom Taniseinu Kivitzara Gedola Anochnu. Hashem, answer us on the day on which we're fasting and calling out to you because we're in great trouble. Doesn't work on Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is a day of Avelus. It's not a day of Tefillah. It's not a day on which the Tefillos are mesugal to be accepted by the Ribbono Shel Olam. So says the Ri Alevi, don't say Aneinu. Aneinu is also included in Sosam Tefilosi. Again, that's not our minug. We don't take the idea of Sosam Tefilosi that far. But you begin to understand that this is an idea that has more far-reaching implications. Rav Soloveitchik took this idea of Sosam Tfilosi and used it to explain other omissions that are part of our minog, and he had an interesting halacha lemaisa derivation, a little bit of a chiddush halacha lemaisa, based on this idea of Sosam Tfilosi. There are other things that are missing, and that's as follows. There are other things that are missing on Tisha B'Av, which we would expect to find on a regular Tainis Tzibur. Usually on a Tainis Tzibur we say Slichos, say Avinu Malkeinu, a whole bunch of different tefillos which are absent from Tisha B'Av. Now again, you say, okay, look, there are only so many hours in a day, you know, we have Kinnas, we have Echa, you got to say Slichas also, well, Mamish be here the whole day. Okay, so maybe that's an argument, but really nothing, not a single Avinu Malkeinu. So it's interesting to note, there was a minug of the Gaonim, the tour brings such a minug. There was a minhag among the Gaonim to say Slichas on Tisha B'Av, right? Just because it's like any other Tainis Tzibur. But obviously, as we know, that minhag was not accepted, and the common practice today is not to say Slichas on Tisha B'Av. So again, why not? Why should there be a difference between that and the Tainis Tzibur? So said Rav Soloveitchik, it's the same thing. Sosam Tfilosi. What are the Slichas all about? The Slichas are asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Rachamim. They're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for mercy. We're davening that our fasting and our supplications should be accepted before the Ribbono Shel Olam. That doesn't work on Tisha B'Av. You can't do that. Sosam Tfilosa. The Ribbono Shel Olam isn't prepared to be mekabel our tfilos in that way. What's that? Right. So Tachlin Erev Tisha B'Av may just simply be along the lines of Tachlin Erev Rosh Chodesh. So why do we leave off Tachlin Mincha Erev Rosh Chodesh? So the poskim write that the minig is just to let everybody know that Rosh Chodesh is going to be that night. In other words, fundamentally speaking, there's no kedusha of Erev Rosh Chodesh. There's no reason that you shouldn't be able to say Tachnun. It's just a signal. So it could be over here the same thing. It's just a signal to let everybody know that the Tisha B'Av is coming. But there's no inherent, there's no concept of Sasam Tfilasi, as far as I would be aware, that would apply to Erev Tisha B'Av. So the fact that we omit Slichos, the fact that we omit Ovinu Malkeinu, the fact that we omit viduyim, you know, that there are no kind of confessionals associated with Tisha B'Av. All of that, says Rav Soloveitchik, is based on this idea of sasam tfilasi. That's why we don't accept this minhag of the Gaonim to say slichos on Tisha B'Av. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not accepting our tfilos fully. I can't say he's not at all, but he's not accepting our tfilos fully on Tisha B'Av, and that leads to all of these omissions as well. In fact, Soloveitchik took this one step further, and he suggested the following chiddush, practically speaking. He said, somebody asked me to make a mishaberach for cholim on Tisha B'Av. You know, the sick people don't know, you know, to distinguish between Tisha B'Av and other days of the year. A person sick, rachmana litzlan, you're sick. So somebody went over to the Rav once on Tisha B'Av and said, can you make a mishaberach for a cholim? He said, I empathize with the person who's sick, but I don't think you're allowed to make a Misha Berach V'cholim on Tisha B'Av. Why not? Sosam Tfilosi. The concept of Sosam Tfilosi means that anything beyond the very, very basic Seder HaTfilah that we all know and love, you know, the Tfilahs that we say every day, anything beyond that, we don't have the right or the ability or be pointless to say on Tisha B'Av. So Mishaberach V'cholim, which is, again, obviously something which is not part of the regular rubric of tefillah. You're making a Mishaberach specifically for a certain person who happens to be ill. So the Rav said he didn't think that that was appropriate to make on Tisha B'Av. Again, just to point out, we're not paskening lahalacha. I think the common practice certainly is to make a Mishaberach V'cholim on Tisha B'Av. You know, to daven for cholim on Tisha B'Av and that. But the Rav saw that as being part of this idea of sosam tfilasi, which goes so far as to even curtail the concept of making a mishaberach for a chole on Tisha B'Av itself. That's all in terms of the minog of omitting certain things because of sosam tfilasi. I wanted to share a very, I think, fascinating medrash in Eicha Rabbah that does something a little bit different with this pasuk of sasam tfilasi. And again, as I said before, you know, we're all looking to be a little bit better after Tisha B'Av finishes, maybe a lot better. And I think this is something that we can all think about in terms of our own practices. So the pasuk says, Gam ki ezak v'ashaveya. Rabbi Acha Omar, Rabbi Acha says, Kol hamispalel im hatzibur l'mahu domeh. A person davens together with the tzibur, the congregation, to what can he be compared? Livnei adam sha'asu atara lamelech. Imagine some people got together and they made a crown for the king. Bo ani echad v'nosan chelko b'socha. Most of the people contributed towards the crown were very, very well-to-do people. And they gave beautiful, beautiful elements towards that crown. One poor person comes and he adds something to the construction of the crown, again, presumably in such a way that it's stuck into the crown, which, you know, is not necessarily of the highest caliber in terms of the crown itself. You know, he adds something much more modest into the crown. Ma amelech omer, b'shvil ze oni eini mekablo. So the king is presented the crown, and he realizes that one of the elements of the crown was donated by a poor person. Ordinarily, the king wouldn't take the crown that was donated by a poor person alone. But here, the poor person has snuck in his portion amidst all of the more regal portions that were provided by the other people. Says the king, am I going to turn down the crown just because there's a little bit of something that came from a poor person? Miyad b'kabel ha-melech v'nosno b'rosho. The king says, no, of course I'm going to accept the crown, even if there's a little bit of something in the crown that comes from a person who's impoverished. Kach im hoyu asorat tzadikim omim b'tfilo. So too, says Rabbi Yacho, that's the way Tefillah B'Tzibur works. You have 10 tzaddikim who are in shul, standing and davening, v'rasha omed b'neihem. And there's a rasha who's coming and davening with them. Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu omer b'shul rasha zeh eini mekabel tefilasam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, am I not going to accept the tefillah just because one of the people in shul happens to be a rasha? So in other words, says Rabbi Yacho, the koach of Tefillah B'Tzibur is such that even that people who join the tzibur, even if they themselves are not worthy, and their tfilos on their own would really not be accepted for whatever reason, it would be a personal sosam tfilosi against this individual, in the schus of co-joining with the rest of the tzibur, the tfilo of even that person is going to be accepted. In other words, if you join the group, you have a chance of getting swept in together with the group and your tfilos being accepted before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? It's a concept we probably heard before, the koach of tefillah b'tzibur. On the surface, that doesn't have anything to do with the pasuk in Eicha, but what follows is based on the pasuk in Eicha. What's that? Right, so it's interesting, the way the Medrash presents it is you have to have 10 tzaddikim, and then the rasha can come. Right? You know, what if it's 3 tzaddikim, you know, 5 half tzaddikim, and you know, a bunch of rishayim. Right, it's interesting. You point that out of the Medrash, right? You want to have a good core group. You want to have a good core group. And, you know, I'll just leave it at that. You know, you want to make sure that the core is good at the very, very least. Then the Medrash brings another drasha. V'rabbanan amrin. The Rabbanan add to this idea there's an importance of tefillah b'tzibur, but it works both ways. Ba'achar hatzibur. Let's say that tzibur has davened, and you come late. You come to shul, and tzibur is still there, but your personal tefillos are being recited after the tzibur has said its tefillos. Ma'isov nifrotim. In that case, says the Medrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to look at your personal actions more closely, and he's going to judge you not on the basis of the fact that you've joined a tzibur. Because he's not going to give you the benefit that we spoke about a moment ago, that you may not be such a wonderful person yourself, but at least you're part of a tzibur of tzaddikim. No, that would be good if you would have been there 10 minutes earlier. But now that you're 10 minutes later, and they are already holding by Ashrei Uvol Litzion, and you know, you're first starting Shmon Esrei, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to look at your tefillah in isolation from the other mispalalim, and you know, you're going to be judged on your own merits, and that may not result in the best results. Lemahu doma, this can be compared. Lemelech shenichnasu arisov neveso lechabdo. A king throws a party, and his workers and the people in his house come to be mechaved him, to show him honor. Yeah. Right. Right. So I just in terms of the corona, when everyone's davening at home, I don't think that's called halachically tefillah b'tzibur, but I think it's important to keep in mind that as important as tefillah b'tzibur is, keeping people alive is more important, right? So in other words, you're right, ein ochinami, we lost out on the maila of tefillah b'tzibur under those circumstances, but you know, there are other milas that are more important than tefillah b'tzibur, right? In other words, we wouldn't tell a person that he has to put himself or others into a situation of sakana in order to daven b'tzibur, right? It's important, you're right. You know, I don't know how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, I certainly don't know. It seems reasonable that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would cut slack to people who missed tefillah b'tzibur through no fault of their own. You know, we're not in charge of the virus. But on a pure halachic level, I think it's hard to say that it's tefillah b'tzibur under those circumstances. We're certainly happy that we're back here in shul and able to have tefillah b'tzibur in the proper sense of the term. So in any case, you know, there's a mashal of a king who's has people coming to be mechabed him with a party. Bo echad b'achrona. A guy comes late to the party. Right? So everybody else presents all of their gifts, and everything is beautiful and wonderful. And you know, because everyone's presenting their gifts all at the same time, the Ribbono Shel Olam, the king, you know, kind of accepts everything with a cursory glance and doesn't really pay so much attention to this gift, to that gift. You know, you make a simcha, and there's a table, everybody leaves the gifts, you know, everything just kind of piles up there, you don't really pay attention, this gift, that gift. But the guy who comes in late, after all the gifts have been cleared away, and he comes in with his gift, so that gift is going to be scrutinized to a much greater extent. Mi garam lo harei shebo ba'achrona. Who causes his gift to be scrutinized to that greater extent? And, you know, the king looks at it and says, you bring me this? Really? If you would have come with everybody else, you wouldn't have gotten that. But now you come at the end. Kach kolam ispale la'achar tzi hatzibur ma'isov nifrotim. So too, says the Medrash, a person who comes in late to shul and ends up davening after the tzibur has already davened. He's not, Hishman Esrei, he's not in sync with everybody else. So he's going to be looked at and scrutinized to a much greater extent. Where do we see that? So that's where it comes back to the pasuk. Gam ki ezak v'ashaveya sosam tfilosi. So the word sosam can also be read shetam, that it came to an end. Gam ki ezak v'ashaveya, when I call out and I'm screaming and I'm davening, shetam tfilosi, in a situation where the tfilo has already ended, meaning the tzibur has finished davening already. So then in a play on words, when tam tfilosi, sosam tfilosi. If the tfilo has already ended by the tzibur, my tfilo personally is nistam, is clogged up, is blocked, and doesn't have the ability to reach the Ribbono Shel Olam to quite the same extent. What's very, I think, scary about this, if you think about it, is that essentially when you put together the positions that we quoted earlier from all of the Gedolei HaRishonim, the Rishonim of Ashkenaz, who said that the Minhagim, there's so many Minhagim of Tisha B'Av that are meant to reflect this idea that Tisha B'Av uniquely is Sosam Tfilosi, we can encounter a Tisha B'Av situation on any day of the year when we come late to shul. Coming late to shul and not being able to merge one's tfilos with those of the tzibur is on some level the halachic equivalent of Tisha B'Av, of sosam tfilosi, of the Ribbono Shel Olam not accepting our tfilos. You know, they say there are different kinds of people who have different reactions when Tisha B'Av is over. I think most of us, certainly myself included, say, wow, Tisha B'Av is over, now we can go out and eat. Every once in a while you have a rare individual who says, wow, Tisha B'Av is over, Baruch Hashem, now I can learn. I think I know a couple of those individuals, but they're rare. Certainly one of them is not speaking to you right now, that much I can tell you. I guess there's a third kind of individual also, the individual who says, wow, Tisha B'Av is over, my tfilos now are going to be accepted without any difficulties. But the Medrash is reminding us there's a caveat. You got to be in it to win it. You have to come on time in order to be able to take advantage of the tfilos being accepted to the fullest extent. Right? We're glad that Sosam Tfilosi is over in terms of Tisha B'Av. We should do whatever we can to ensure that Sosam Tfilosi should not be a part of our tfilos going forward on regular days. We should be zocha to see very, very soon Benachom Asiyon v'Yerushalayim. Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer, Ratzo HaKadosh.